Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Soccer matters.
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate de gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Oribe!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Senate Avenue Brewing here tonight is the place to be. And we appreciate everybody coming out here. We're going to get a quick word here with the mayor. And the mayor is Andrew Mitchum, who is the owner of Senate Avenue Brewing, and it is award-winning craft beer. And by the way, we have a huge line here for Jack McGlynn signing autographs. This is great to see this connection.
This is great. I'm so happy that he made it through the rain, and he made it here, and made a lot of people happy. There was a really great crowd, and so pleased with all the soccer fans in Houston showing up to our little brewery.
And it's nice that... we see the connection here. I mean, he's such a nice young man. Excellent player. Obviously, he's got everything going for him. So it was really nice to have him out here.
Excellent game last few nights ago. I mean, just an absolute awesome brace for him. And it was nice to see him connect also from way outside the box. And you haven't seen that in a while. Some really great goal scoring.
Andrew, all right. So speaking of great goal scoring, you guys score a lot of goals with your craft beer. You win a lot of awards.
Yes, we do.
A little bit of a word on some of your award-winning craft beer.
You know, I think our biggest craft beer that has won awards is our House of Lords. It's our English ale. We get a lot of people who are from England that come over, and they're expats, and they're here. And, you know, especially on Fridays, we do fish and chips on Fridays. So you can get a fish and chips on Fridays and an English ale, and we have heard from English expats that it's like being right back at home. So, you know, that's won a silver medal at Texas Craft Brewers Cup.
Yeah.
It has won a couple of awards at Fredericksburg, so that's probably our main award-winning beer right now. So on Friday, come on out, have a fish and chips and an English ale.
All right. Yeah. Andrew, thank you very much
for
hosting us.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
And by the way, Andrew Mitchum's a big soccer fan, as you know, but he also he is a big supporter of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We really thank him for his involvement and helping us spread the lore of the game. Thank you, Andrew. All right, let's go to our phone lines. We're going to start talking some Liverpool. Round of applause for Andrew Mitchum. He is the boss. They call him the mayor. He was the mayor of Jersey Village, by the way, so that's not a joke on the back of his shirt. That's pretty incredible. Let's go to the phone lines now. We got Ian Veery from Houston LFC, the supporters group for Liverpool Football Club. They're based out of Hugh O'Connor's pub on I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. And Ian joins us now. Ian, how are you?
I'm good, Glenn. How are you?
Good to have you on. We're really looking forward to the start of the Premier League. And obviously, you guys... have a wonderful supporters group in Houston. Just first off, give us some information about Houston, your supporters group, and where people can contact you or maybe become part of it.
Well, Houston Official LFC is the website, and we meet at Hugh O'Connor's, you just mentioned, on at the Marquee. Not the Hugh O'Connor's in the village. The one on I-10, brilliant support there. Every game is shown, even when we're trooping down there at 6 a.m. on a Saturday morning from the 12:30 kickoff to the UK. And on Thursday this week, we're doing a Premier League or Premiership trivia night on Thursday at 7 p.m. at Hugh O'Connor's. So we'd love to get a lot of people to come down for that, and that sounds like it'll be a good night, and it'll be a good way to kick off the season.
Season begins for Liverpool on Friday. They'll take on Bournemouth, 2 o'clock Central Time. You can catch that game. Tyler Adams, a U.S. international, who was just playing with Jack McGlynn in the Gold Cup. Jack McGlynn's still here signing autographs and meeting a number of people out here tonight. I do want to remind you about Liverpool. They are the defending Premier League champions. They won it going away, really. Let's just talk about first the Community Shield, some of the things that are going on with that. Crystal Palace winning it on penalties. What do you make of that one, Ian?
It was an interesting game. I think we didn't really play too well, to be totally honest. I have to say that. I think Crystal Palace were more up for the game. I know we made quite a few changes over the summer, and I think it was sort of the first competitive game with everybody on the pitch, who I guess will probably be somewhere near the starting 11 for Bournemouth on Friday. And there were some moments, but it just didn't seem fully gelled yet. It's just because we'd added so many new parts, I think, you know, to what was pretty stable for most of last year. Because he didn't tend to, Slotty, make too many changes. And so I think we had a little bit of a hiccup there. And credit to Palace. I mean, they played very well, and we missed a couple of opportunities to really put the game away, and they came back to bite us in the end, and they were more clinical on their penalties as well. So fair play to Palace. They've been absolutely done a wrong in this week by UEFA as well, so I'm really disappointed with that.
Yeah, they're going to go down to the conference.
Yes.
Tournament.
I think that's so wrong. I think there's so many rule-bending, I'm not blaming you, but so many rule-bending teams have been in the Champions League from co-owners before, and it's never been an issue. And for some reason this year, they've really tried to make an issue of it. And I really feel sorry for Crystal Palace, because really small club, well-supported, and been playing very good football. And won the FA Cup and against Manchester City, and then the Charity Shield last weekend against us, and thoroughly deserved it.
All right, let's get into some key transfers. I got to start with Florian Wirtz, who comes over from Bayer Leverkusen. Thoughts on him with Liverpool?
Oh, super. I think we have not really had that sort of player playing for us for quite a few years now, probably since maybe Gerrard a little bit, and even Alonso. But he looked very good in pre-season, the times he played. And he showed some flashes at the weekend. But again, I think it's just more minutes on the field for the boys to really get together, you know.
So the investment, I mean, Liverpool doesn't sit on it. They spend a ton of money. It's historic investment. They get Florian Wirtz, they get Ugo Ekitike, if I'm saying that correctly.
And
they're still in pursuit of Alexander Isak as well, right?
That's a really interesting one, you know, Glenn. There is a lot of moving parts, it seems, with that. And it just changes day by day. I mean, he moved out of his apartment in Newcastle today and said he's never going to play for Newcastle again. But he's got 3 years left on his contract. So I don't know. I mean, I think Liverpool will probably bid again, but I think there's going to be more. I think we're going to get Gaye first, because I think we're a little shorter in the centre-back position. However, we have let three forwards, well, not let three forwards go, obviously, with the tragic Diogo Jota death, but we let Nunes and Diaz go to Bayern Munich, and that has left us a little bit short up front, I think. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens towards the end of the transfer window.
All right, the legendary player, John Aldridge, I read a column of his in the Liverpool Echo, and he says Liverpool is not ready for this season. Do you agree with that? I mean, in that case, I don't know if anybody's ready, right? It is their first game of the year. I don't think anybody's ready.
Well, we have made quite a few significant changes. I mean, two of the back four have changed, which is huge. You know, I mean, when I coached back in the day, I never, ever wanted to change my back four ever during a game or for any reason. But two of the back four have changed. I mean, Wirtz in midfield and then Ekitike, I think, although, as I say, of all the players that came in at the weekend, he did look really bright, I thought. And he almost reminded me of Firmino a few times with his little dinks and trying to get that understanding going with Salah quite early on. So it's looking good, I think, but I think they definitely need some bedding in. And we haven't really got a lot of time to bed in because we've got Bournemouth on Friday. Then the following Monday it's Newcastle, and that could potentially be an explosive fixture. And then it's Arsenal, so it's... we're definitely starting the season with a bang, you know, with potentially a lot of changes.
What's interesting to me, well, first of all, just a reminder here for everybody listening in, Ugo Ekitike cost $106 million. So there you go. But, you know, just to what John Aldridge said, oh, I don't think they're ready for the season. You know, ex-players say some dumb things sometimes, a lot of them, because they're paid to have an opinion. For anybody to say that anybody's going to be ready for the Premier League at this point, nor do you want to be ready. You don't want to be hitting all cylinders in your very, very first game. Now, that said, you just mentioned a pretty tricky fixture list for Liverpool. Manchester United's got a really, really tricky fixture list, right? And you lose a couple of games early, you can be in trouble if you're fighting for Champions League places and to win the title in the league.
I think that's the issue with the Premier League over a lot of other leagues is that any game, anybody can win. And I absolutely mean that with the Premier League. You know, I mean, the form book a lot of times goes out the window with any of the games because there's always a few surprises every single year. And I always remember a famous quote from Jose Mourinho. He said, you know what, in any other league, you can look down your fixture list and go 3 points, 3 points, 3 points, 3 points. He said you can't do that in the Premier League because anybody can beat anybody on a given day, and that is absolutely true.
Ian, how does this playing style maybe change under Arne Slot with these differing players now, or is it too early to even start commenting on that? But obviously you're going to try to leverage the creativity of Florian Wirtz. You're going to hope he establishes a good relationship with Mo Salah. Mo's going to be getting in front of him. He's going to be trying to pick him out. What maybe look into your crystal ball are you seeing? You're a youth soccer coach as well. You've been in player development. What do you see?
Well, interesting, Salah. I think he is definitely not the player he was. Towards the end of last season, he definitely wasn't, and he didn't look, to be honest, in pre-season, he hasn't looked great. On Sunday, for me, if we're picking somebody out that definitely didn't hit the ground running, it was Salah. So it's going to be really interesting because, like we just talked about, with Diaz gone, Nunes gone, no Jota, we need Salah's goals. So that really, actually, has put a bit more pressure on him again this season, I think, because TK looked good. Great first goal, by the way. Took the ball, lovely little touch to the side to create space for himself and absolutely drilled it in. Superb. Cody Gakpo on the other side, a couple of good touches. But one of the biggest problems I think we had was it was almost like the old days with Robbo and Trent bombing up. The same thing happened with Frimpong and with Kerkez, and then there was this massive gap in behind, and they really did a good job of exploiting that, Alice. So I think they maybe need to, which we did last year to the most part, the back four didn't bomb forward on the outside quite as often, and if they did, or if just one went up, and Ryan Gravenberch was sort of dropping in to fill that hole. And, of course, he was out with the I think he had birth of a child last weekend. And so we definitely missed that sort of solidity in front of the back four, I think, and that hole filling that he does so well. So it's going to be interesting. I think, of course, also McAllister didn't start. I think he's probably going to start, you know, if he gets up to speed with Virks, and could be hopefully Graven Birch as the midfield three, I would think, with Virks in front. And then that should probably be what starts at Bournemouth, I think, on Friday.
He is Ian Veery. He's with the Houston Liverpool supporters group. They meet out at Hugh O'Connor's pub. We are out at Senate Avenue Brewing here today. And we just had Jack McGlinnan here in the first two segments, second and third segment of the show today. It was really, really outstanding stuff from him. So we really appreciate Jack McGlinnan coming out. Also, outstanding stuff here from Ian Veery. Anything else you want to say quickly before we let you go, Ian, and go to break? It's a big one on Friday. It's Liverpool opening their Premier League season up against Bournemouth and Tyler Adams. Anything else from you, Ian, before we let you go? And we thank you for coming on.
Well, no, Glenn, always a pleasure to talk football with you. You know that anytime. And next time I'll make it out to the brewery, so that'll be really good. So we can catch up in person next time. No, just looking forward to the season. We'll be at O'Connor's on Friday. And don't forget the Premier League trivia Thursday at 7.
Perfect. Ian Veery, thank you so much for coming on tonight, Ian. And we will have you on again in the near future to talk Liverpool and Premier League. As we go to break here, just a quick reminder here about something that it looks like Alexander Isak, who had 23 goals last year, I mean, he's sticking firm. He's not playing for Newcastle United anymore. We'll see. It's all part of the negotiation here. But also says that Liverpool's waiting in a position here to make a massive offer for him. And that might dovetail into maybe Mo Salah's shelf life beginning to slowly go, because that is the nature of professional sports. You only have a certain amount of shelf life. That's after Mo Salah had a great season. And that doesn't mean he won't have one this year. All right, we'll take a break. We go to break here. Quick word for Cactus Music. This is EMF, by the way. Song called Unbelievable. Cactus Music for all your vinyl, all your CDs. You go down there. That's the place to go. I do also want to remind you that the Dynamo will be in action this weekend. They will be in Vancouver, and that should be the debut of Thomas Muller, one of my favorite players, because he's one of the most interesting players that I've ever seen, because he's not a dribbler, he's not explosive, but he is an interpreter of space. We'll take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5 from Senate Avenue Brewing in Jersey Village.
This is Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Senate Avenue Brewing. We continue on with some of our Premier League talk here tonight. It's been a wonderful night out here. We got a lot more to go. If you're out and about on the town, you're on 290, take the Senate Avenue exit, and you will come to Senate Avenue Brewing. It's award-winning beer here, and people are drinking some of this great, great craft beer. It's not mass-produced. We got Jan Luke of Team Houston is out here. We got a number of people out here, good familiar faces. Fidel is here. We're getting a lot of regulars, and we really appreciate everybody tuning in tonight who are listening from afar. Okay, time to talk some Arsenal now as we continue to preview the 2025-26 season. Kevin Dunham, he comes from H-Town Gooners, and yes. We really appreciate you coming out, Kevin. By the way, they're on Twitter at H-Town Gooners. If you're an Arsenal fan and you want to join up, we got some other Arsenal jerseys over here, which is pretty cool. So, Kevin, first off, just a thought from you on just the supporters' culture in Houston. Yes, Arsenal, but it's pretty crazy how every single Premier League team and La Liga teams, I mean, it's pretty intense.
It is very intense. I love that, but that's part of what I love about soccer and what I love about the community here. We share our pub with the Barcelona guys because I've known those guys forever.
Oh, so you know Victor.
I do. Yeah. I know Victor very well. So, yeah, but a lot of the Premier League supporters groups, I'm friends with them as well, the United guys, the Chelsea guys, the Tottenham guys. But, yeah, I love the community. It's great, and I love the way it's growing.
And it's brethren, right? I mean,
yes,
everybody just loves the game. They love the Premier League. Do you watch other leagues outside of the Premier League?
Not that much. I watch a little bit of La Liga, but it's mostly Premier League.
Dynamo?
I do watch the Dynamo, yes.
Do you go to Dynamo games?
I go to Dynamo games on a regular basis.
Okay, very good,
yes.
Very good. All right. So Arsenal hasn't won a league title in 20 years. It's improved under Mikel Arteta. Just some of your outlook on the upcoming season.
Well, I'm hoping this year can be the year we can make that final step and win the Premier League. We've been second for the last 3 years, and we need to make the final step. We've added a lot to the squad this year. We've got 6 new players, including a new striker that everybody's excited about. So hopefully that will be the final piece, and we can finally lift the Premier League trophy for the first time in 22 years.
All right, let's talk about that striker. It's Victor Gyökeres.
Yeah, Gyökeres.
Am I saying that right? Gyökeres.
Gyökeres, yes.
£60 million
yes.
from Sporting in Portugal. Mm-hmm. Are you concerned about his adaptation to the Premier League? Scoring goals in Portugal might be a little different than the Premier League.
Was absolutely different than the Premier League. But having seen him in preseason, he looks like a beast. And I am hoping that will take go over into the season. But he's looked fantastic in the preseason matches that I've seen. So I'm hoping he can do it. Now, I don't expect him to score 50 goals in the Premier League, but if he can get us 20, I would be happy.
Over $200 million in spend from Arsenal. I mean, that's ambition right there, I think. Zubimendi in midfield has got to be a big addition.
Oh, yes, he is. He is massive. His direct passing has been a revelation for us. I think he's going to be a very, very important part of what our new tactical setup will be for this year.
All right. We all kind of fell in love with Martin Odegaard. Kind of fell off maybe a little bit last year, if that's fair to say. Not as instrumental as the year before. But speak about him and this midfield, what it's going to look like. No Thomas Partey, no Jorginho. It's going to be different.
It is definitely going to be different. We're hoping that Odegaard can return to his former glory. Last year was an off year for him, but he had a little bit of an injury issue. He also had his first child that, you know, people with children know that it will throw you off. But he looks good this preseason. I think he'll be back to his former self. I think Zubimendi, Rice, and Odegaard is going to be a very formidable midfield. And Norgaard, the backup for Zubimendi, already Premier League proven. He's a solid addition to the team as well.
So you feel good about the depth that Arteta and company have put together?
Yes. I feel very good about the depth. I think it's going to be we shouldn't have the same issues we had last year where we were playing the same players until they broke. I think we have enough players where we can rotate effectively and keep everyone healthy.
And you still got Bukayo Saka?
We do. We love the star.
We haven't lost him.
No.
So that also makes Gyökeres look even better, right?
Yes.
All right, so I like what Mikel Arteta did. Obviously, he was Pep Guardiola's assistant. He brought a lot of those same ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the no-nonsense attitude about him as a coach. Mm-hmm. I love that because sometimes I'm seeing sometimes in the world of sports these zen managers that, you know, sometimes I just like to see an autocratic, tough manager who's not afraid to show that off.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think we like Arteta. He has done an amazing job with the squad. And I think he is what we needed after so many years of Wenger, who was much more of a man manager, but a gentler manager. I think the culture had gotten a little...
Comfortable?
Comfortable is a good word for it.
Yeah, I was going to say. So when he was there, did you feel like it was too comfortable? Did you know, I felt like there was always all this talent at Arsenal. But it just seemed like everybody was really relaxed, and I just didn't see the edge that now Arteta has brought.
I agree. I think toward the end of Wenger's tenure at Arsenal, there definitely was some loss of that competitive edge, and we were not the same team that was feared that we were earlier in the 2000s. That team that ran into the Invincibles, that early 2000s team, that was a team that scared people when we went onto the pitch. And we didn't scare people at the end of Wenger's tenure. I think we scare people again.
Do you think you're pushing for the title this year?
Yes. I certainly hope we're pushing for the title. If we're not pushing for the title, something has gone very, very wrong.
Yeah, last year in second place, I mean, Liverpool ran away with it.
Yes.
It's 20 years since Arsenal has won a title. That was with the Invincibles and all those great, great players from back then. But they've got depth. They've got new signings. They've spent over $200 million. And they open Sunday at Old Trafford against Manchester United. How about that for an opener?
Yes, we do. That is a huge opener. And even though United had a very, very rough season last year, I don't expect them to be an easy win. Old Trafford is Old Trafford. It's never an easy place to go and play. And I expect Sunday's match to be a very intense. And hopefully we come out with the 3 points.
All right. Tell us where you watch your games again and invite people out for that one.
So we watch at Velvet Oak. It's at 2221 West Alabama.
I know where that is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a wonderful pub. As I said, we share the pub with the Barcelona guys. And occasionally the Brighton guys will come out and watch their games there as well. So it's a wonderful, wonderful soccer location. And Jeremy, the owner, is a great guy.
What have I missed from your perspective? We talked about a couple of things around Arsenal. What are some things that maybe you're focused on without my prompting? About the club, about the team, it could be about an individual player. Tell me.
Well, we're focused on what we're going to do on the left side, as our left winger situation is a little is a bit of a weakness. So we don't know yet whether Madueke, one of the players that was bought in, if he will play on the left side and he's there to strengthen, or is he a backup for Saka? Or is there more work to be done in a transfer window? We're not quite sure yet. We still have 3 weeks before the window closes. So I guess we'll have to wait and see if there's additional work to be done on the squad.
Madueke, £50 million from Chelsea.
From Chelsea, yes.
Wow. And we're talking about a backup potential.
Is
that what we're talking about here?
He is projected to be a backup, yes.
Okay, Jokeris from Portugal, he's one of the big signings. Tell me what you expect from him, but obviously it's going to be goals. But I mean, the style of play, what can people expect from him? What type of player and attacking player is he?
I think he's more of a traditional number nine. He is a striker that wants to battle the center backs. He wants to take their attention, which I think will help our wingers free up a little bit. They'll be able to have more one-on-ones because he's taking more of that attention away from them. He's very direct, very pacey. He wants to run behind the defenses. So we're hoping that he will help us unlock some of those low blocks when teams come out. Like, we can attack a little bit more efficiently, more directly, instead of the horseshoe of death that Arsenal has become known for. That would really help our attack.
Talking to Kevin Dunham. He's with H-Town Gooners. That is the Arsenal supporters group here in Houston, Texas. They meet at Velvet Oak, which is more near Kirby and Shepherd, that area.
Yes.
In town, as opposed to out here at Senate Avenue Brewing. And we really appreciate Kevin coming in here. By the way, he came in on short notice, so you could be a good guy off the bench for Arsenal. You came in here and helped me put together this Premier League show here tonight. The primary playmaker, I mean, it's Odegaard, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big concern, him being back to health, full fitness, and producing.
Yes.
And getting others involved in the game.
Yes.
And beating people off the dribble, by the way.
That is true. And the other thing that hurt us last year is we didn't really have a viable option behind Odegaard. I think this year, although he's very young, Ethan Nwaneri is a viable option behind Odegaard. He's had a season of Premier League experience under his belt now. And he's only 18, but he's got to start making that step.
Is he the secondary playmaker? I mean, if it goes bad with Odegaard, what's the plan?
I'm hoping one area is the plan. Or maybe we could bring someone else in during the transfer window.
This is
but
great.
Otherwise, we might have a problem.
Yeah, and Odegaard's a captain, too. So, I
yes.
mean, is it fair to sit here and say that, you know, a lot is going to hinge on him getting back to that form of two seasons ago?
Oh, absolutely. Odegaard is the one that makes our midfield click. So if he's not running at his peak, it brings our whole team down a little bit.
Premier League is kicking off this weekend. There's a boatload of games, including Arsenal taking on Manchester United Sunday at 10:30 a.m. I was talking to some people, or I made the point earlier tonight that, you know, you get off to a bad start in the Premier League in promotion and relegation. There's not a lot of fallback position if you want to be top four, right? So as much as all these teams, there's a lot of unknown around them, a lot of integration of new players, new systems, new ideas. You still got to win from the start.
Absolutely, and we have a very tough start to the season. We're away at United. We're away at Liverpool before the end of August. We're away to Newcastle in September, and we have City at home in the middle of September. So four of our first six matches are against top four contenders. It's going to be tough. So we will know by the end of September whether this team is gelling or not, because three of those are on the road as well.
Man, it's precarious. But you know what? That's what we love about the league, because there is real consequence as opposed to playoff leagues. Not bagging on playoff leagues, but for me, I don't mean to say this as often as I do on this show, but 18 out of 30 teams making the playoffs in MLS leads to less attractive games, less urgency. I don't care what anybody says. It has to happen that way, because there's just such a long fallback position. And that's the thing I think is the argument for promotion and relegation consequence.
Yes, I agree with you completely. Every game matters in the Premier League. You can't lose 6, 7, 8 games and expect to have a chance at the title. It's just not feasible. You have to play every game to win.
Kevin Dunham joining us here at Senate Avenue Brewing in Jersey Village. By the way, how many in your group right now? Do you know?
As far as membership on our mailing list, we have somewhere around 432 people.
Wow.
Regular attendees for matches. There will be, for a normal match, we'll get somewhere between 50 to 100. On Sunday, we're looking at maybe 150 to 200.
Yeah, since it's the opener, you're going to get more out, right?
The opener, and it's United. So those are all the big matches. Everybody comes out.
All right, how much pain are you in when you don't get the result you want? Do you suffer the next day, or is it a couple beers, it's over until next weekend?
No. I am one of those people who obsesses over the team, and I suffer. If we lose, if it's a bad performance, it ruins my day. It may ruin my weekend. I may not recover until Monday.
So if they don't play well, we call them Snooze FC?
I wouldn't go that far.
Just kidding. I always thought that would be a great T-shirt for those poor people that have had to suffer through bad teams. It could be universal. Snooze FC.
Yeah.
I don't know. No? Not good enough, right? We tried. All right, Kevin, listen, thank you very much for coming in here tonight. Really appreciate it. It took me a while to figure out you were the guy that needed to be interviewed, because I've never met you before. Thank you very much for coming in tonight. Good luck to H-Town Gooners. By the way, on X, it's at H-Town Gooners. And you know what? If you're an Arsenal fan, go over there and become a part of the group and enjoy the fun.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you.
Thank you very much, Kevin. All right. That's Kevin Dunham right there. So we're going to come back. We're going to do some Aston Villa and Manchester United combined talk here in the final segment here. Really big thank you to Kevin for coming out here tonight. Also want to remind you, Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe, 3 locations, 1 in the Woodlands, I-10 and the Beltway. And then also we've got the original, which is my favorite, which is down, the original is down in the Montrose area. So Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe for the best in Greek and Mediterranean food. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got much, much more. Next up is Aston Villa and Manchester United.
Darling, you got to let me know.
You're listening to Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
Yeah, you heard it. Senate Avenue Brewing, Jersey Village. Wonderful craft beer out here. It's all brewed in-house. None of this mass-produced stuff. You want the best in craft beer. It's out here. And the food is excellent as well, too. I don't know if you guys had an opportunity to get any of the food, but if you are out here, the food is fresh. It's excellent. They got a beautiful patio out here, family friendly, 7 monitors, you name it. The mayor's in charge. He's looking at me right now. I'm a little nervous doing this final segment here tonight because the mayor is staring me down here right now. But what I do want to say about Senate Avenue Brewing, I have to look at it from a different angle as well. I want to thank them very much for supporting soccer on the radio and the airwaves. So a big thank you to Andrew Mitchum and company. All right, time now to talk some Aston Villa. We have Jason Yu, who I've known for a long time, Paul Maddie. I've met Paul before. Gentlemen, thank you for being on the show tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Cheers, thank you.
All right, I'm going to start with you, Paul. Just an overview of your expectations heading into this season after an excellent season last year for Villa.
Yeah, we had a great season. And, you know, the fact that we've managed to hold on to all of our players and we've got a settled squad, I would hope fifth and a cup. Please, I want to see us win an FA Cup.
You heard it from Paul. Jason, how about you?
Even though I think we did pretty well last season, it was a little bit disappointing at the very end. We barely missed out on Champions League by goal difference. So
on the last day.
I can't believe it. I do think that if we would have stopped leaking goals, that would have been a problem. And I do think that this season, if we can, I'd say, I kind of agree with Paul, if we can get top five and a cup. I mean, we're just dying for a cup. It doesn't matter. Give us the League Cup. We've got Emery. We've got Europa League. So he's a master at that. He's, what, won four of those? So yeah. If he wins the fifth, does he get to keep the cup for himself?
He should. Yeah, he had an amazing run.
So, yeah.
Unai Emery, demanding, obsessive coach, an excellent coach, one of my favorites. We're talking to Jason Yu and Paul Maddie. You are at @AVSC_Space City. That's Aston Villa Soccer Club _Space City. You guys gather at Hugh O'Connor's on Dinkin Street. Like I've asked everybody else tonight here, Paul, just talk a little bit about the supporters group culture, which in Houston is amazing, from leagues all over the world, clubs. It's pretty fantastic. We got a great turnout here tonight, even despite all the crazy rain, and we have all kinds of jerseys in here. Just a word on that.
Yeah, no, it's I'll be honest, I was reluctant to get involved in all of this, but like we started off in Bar Munich, and we've just met so many great people, and you just don't you don't realise just how many Aston Villa fans are out there, and we're really excited about going to our new venue for the next season, just because we really want to see lots of Villa fans out there. You know, we can be loud. We can sing all the songs. You know, you can feel like you're in the Holt's End.
Beautiful thing. All right, Jason, get me up to date on Emi Martinez and what's going on there.
Well,
what do you know as of late? Because exceptional goalkeeper. Can win you games, World Cup winner with Argentina. What was going on there?
Well, at the very end of the last season, at the last home game, which Paul and I did attend, he had tears in his eyes.
He said he was leaving, right?
Now, the thing is that behind the scenes with Aston Villa, there's a lot going on with the PSR, with the money, with everything that's gone on. And it looked like he was pretty much out the door.
Sure looked like it to me.
It looked like he was out the door, but I don't think it's too late. You know, with goalkeepers, what happens is one goalkeeper goes, then it's a domino effect that this goalie goes to there, this goalie goes to there. I don't think that really happened in which Emi Martinez was going to go anywhere. And he's more valuable to us than he is to anybody else. And the one thing that we've got going for us is that he actually really does love our club. So that's why he pretty much had tears when it was probably understood the fact that we're maybe missing out on Champions League, the money, the PSR, everything. It looked like he was pretty much going. But the fact that he's still here this late towards or this close to the season starting, I honestly don't see him actually going.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, honestly. But like you said, there's so much going on behind the scenes. All right, so let's talk a little bit about a guy we know is staying, Ollie Watkins.
Oh, yeah.
What a season he had last year, Paul.
He had a great season, but the knock on him was he missed more big opportunities. So
But the good news is he's getting chances.
Yes. Exactly. I'd rather, you know, I've played football. I'd rather get the chance than not have the chance. I'd rather have it to miss. But, you know, you really, you know, if he... He was unfortunate that he came into the season injured and, you know, after playing with England through the Euros. Yep. And, like, it should be, you know, with a full preseason. He's been on fire. We've been to see a lot of the preseason games. He's been on fire. And so hopefully he can start the season well. And we 20 goals. And wouldn't it be great to have a Villa player who hits the 100-goal mark, you know,
he's
in the Premier League?
He's about, what, 15 away?
25 away. That's kind of, that would be a great season. Oh. We'd be champions at that
point. Yeah, that would be great. And once again, if you look at the stats and you look at Haaland or somebody, he has all those top players. They have a lot of chances missed as well. So, but if, the one thing that you got to look at with Ollie Watkins is that his assist numbers are very high as well. He's not just scoring goals, but he's also creating a lot of chances as well.
A lot of goal contributions.
So, and also, he was another one of those players that was making the rounds with, Newcastle want him. Oh, everybody else wants him. But we're not a selling team anymore. You know, we're one of those. I'm not gonna say we're one of the big dogs, but we're hanging around. So. Our owners don't like. They don't look at us as that selling team, unless it kind of fits with the PSR kind of thing.
But
going
players
on.
Have to be happy too. And when they push for moves, sometimes they'll come back and they'll conform and still be a part of it. Other times they won't. We're talking to Jason U, Paul Maddie. It is at @AVSC_SpaceCity, the Aston Villa supporters group here in Houston, Texas. They go to Hugh O'Connor's on Dinkins Street. Guys, take me and take my listeners into some of the players to keep an eye on this year outside of Ollie Watkins.
Oh, Morgan Rogers, 100%. He's just a breath of fresh air. Young, raw talent. He's going to be challenging for, I'm not going to say an England spot. I'm going to say he's going to be challenging for an England start. That's how good this kid is. He's so amazing.
I think for one that you might not know, Ian Maatsen, the Dutch international left back, he looks like he's going to be replacing Luca Dean. We've still got Luca Dean. We've just signed him to a new contract that was, again, PSR friendly. But he's just dynamite.
Explain to my listeners what PSR friendly means.
So I'm guessing here, but he was on a bit. We signed him from Everton. He was on a big contract, and so. Now what
wages.
We've done is we've spread his contract out over 3 years. So we're only allowed to spend so much of our revenues. And so we've got owners with deep pockets, but they are being held back by the rules that say you can only spend 80-90% of what you earn as a club.
Because Aston Villa, it's the amount spent on the wages and everything versus what your revenue is coming in. And unfortunately, Aston Villa doesn't have that kind of, I would guess, say, international market as a team such as, like, Manchester United. Take a look at Manchester United. They finished where? 17th, 16th?
And they drew 81,000 here.
They finished badly. They didn't win any cups. And they are, if you read about it, they are massively leveraged in debt. And they finish badly, and they can go out and buy Cunha. They can go out and buy Mbeumo.
Spend over £200 million.
They can just do that, and then we have a team like us who we've got the money. The owners have the money. They want to spend it, but we're hamstrung. We can't do it. So.
All right, let's because I don't want to get too heavy. But
sorry.
You explained it well, but I want to get you guys into something else because.
Okay.
You two guys go over to Birmingham. You
yep.
do go over and experience the games
yeah.
live.
Yes.
Take us into going to Villa Park, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I went to the last two games of the season. So I was at the Tottenham game, as Jason said. I was at the Man United away game, you know, where, you know, they're just... I mean, it's just an experience to go over, you know, and see a Villa game. I mean, it's... I mean, we... Last season, we lost one home game, and it was... Ironically, it was the first one of the season I was there. But, I mean... Villa Park is a fortress, and like all of the people in England love going to Villa Park. It's one of the favorite away game, you know, stadium.
It's a proper stadium. It's not. It's not one of the soulless like stadiums that everybody talks about.
The upgrade. The upgraded.
Yeah. It's not in the most of nicest areas, but whenever you walk in, just the experience of catching the train from Birmingham New Street, where they have the giant Aussie Bull, which is amazing. And then you take the train into Witten Station, or you take it to Aston, and then you just get off and just the walk up, the smell of the chip, the burger vans, the hot dog vans, and everything. And you're passing by, you know, the Aston Social, the Witten Arms. You go in, maybe have a cheeky pint, and then you just walk out, walk straight to the stadium, and just the roar, and nothing beats it. And then you've got everybody chanting in the whole ten. It's not like stadiums over here where music's pumped to get
the crowd people going.
To get going.
Yeah.
No, it's
nobody has to be prompted.
No, exactly. And everybody, if you watch any of the Premier League matches, watch the stands, and you see nobody walking up and down the stairs. Maybe before halftime, because they want to beat the lines.
Yeah.
But everybody sitting down watching that.
That's a really good point.
Over here, everybody, they're on their phones. They're not paying attention. Over there, you're watching your team, and you want to make sure, hey, when the players
I think we groom that type of fan over here, unfortunately. I think there are more authentic fans out there like you guys that really would scream out for something a little more authentic. That's a story for another day. By the way, Jason is a bass player, and I was telling Jason before that I got my Black Sabbath Back to the Beginning t-shirt from my two friends who were over there.
By the way, their last song when they played Paranoid, what bass was Geezer Butler playing? An Aston Villa special
sticker on it. Yeah, Geezer and Ozzy are in some of the Aston Villa Tifos and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
Paul, Jason, I thank you guys very much for coming out here tonight on short notice. Have fun with your opener this weekend. And
yeah,
I appreciate
Hugh O'Connor's on Dinkins now. We're there now, so come on out. Peter's a really good guy.
It's an early start, but they're opening for us, so I mean, it should be a great atmosphere.
And the Newcastle supporters are out there too. So if you support Newcastle as well, come on out. We'll just make it, you know, just a good have good banter. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Excellent, guys. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks
tonight.
For having us.
All right,
cheers.
That's Paul Maddy. That's Jason Yu at @ABSC_SpaceCity on X. And they are Aston Villa. We're going to continue next week with all the other clubs in the league. We'll get Manchester United, Manchester City in on this action down the road. But we finish up strong here with some good Aston Villa talk. For AJ back in studio, for Brian McDonald, the extraordinaire engineer out here, and for everybody at Senate Avenue Brewing and Andrew Mitchum and Company for helping us put on a good show, plus everybody that came out here tonight, we really appreciate it. Thanks, everybody. Senate Avenue Brewing, we appreciate you. That's it for tonight for Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.